The bewildering journey of finding love in the modern world sets the premise for Terrence McNally's bittersweet comedy, Frankie and Johnny in the Clair de Lune. The show is running on the Berkshire Theatre Group's Fitzpatrick main stage in Stockbridge through August 22nd. After a one-night rendezvous in Manhattan's West Side, Johnny, a compulsive, starry-eyed, short-order cook, is convinced he has found his life companion in Frankie, a wise-cracking waitress. Frankie's poor history with men leaves her hesitant to commit, but as the night progresses, she lets her guard down and an unlikely romance begins to blossom. The contemporary love story stars Angel Desai, Darren Petty, and is directed by Karen Allen. All three join us now, and it's a great pleasure to welcome this amazing trio to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
For having us.
A delight. So let us begin with you, Karen. It's wonderful to see you again. What brought you to wanting to direct, and in particular, this show?
Well, I've been really very much in love with this play for a long time. And when I did Extremities at the Berkshire Theatre Festival a couple of years ago, Kate McGuire, the artistic director of the Berkshire Theatre Festival, and I were just standing in the back of the theater one day, and she said to me, "What's next? Like, what should we do together next?" And I said, "You know, I've always wanted to work on Frankie and Johnny." And she said, "Oh, so have I. So I think, yes, yes, this is the play we should do." So it came out of, you know, my love of the play, and then that sort of meeting up with Kate also loving the play. And this just turned out to be the perfect year to do it.
So when you love the play, do you think of it as an actor, or do you think of it as a director and say, "Oh, this is what challenge this would pose for me. I would like to do that."
I don't know if I can separate the two, really. No. Like, I suppose because there's not really a role in the play for me, I think that I do read it thinking of it as a director. I can't shut off my actor brain. So I suppose there's certain elements of anything I read that I read as an actor. But, certainly my approach to this, knowing I was going to direct it, has been more in terms of the story that it's telling.
So before we talk with this amazing cast, give us a sense of what the challenges have been so far in putting it together, getting it on stage, where it is now. What were those challenges?
Gosh, it's been pretty much a pleasure all the way down the line, I have to say.
That's very good for you.
I have been highly, you know, I always say that, you know, the secret to directing is finding, you know, actors who you love to work with and who are, just bring a lot to the rehearsal process, and who are, you know, ripe and ready to play the roles. And, you know, a lot of your work is done for you when you start there. But the challenges of it, I suppose, is a very complex, delicate play. And it's extraordinary writing, and it tells a very, you know, really, it's not plot-driven. It's a very character-driven story, and it's very much about the internal fears and desires of two characters. And so, you know, just there's a lot of challenges for the actors. I mean, it's a two-character piece. They're on stage for an hour and 45 minutes nonstop. It's like a gigantic, you know, challenging tennis match of words and thoughts and feelings. And, so to just, you know, help them prepare and get ready to, you know, launch that play on stage, you know, I mean, it's been a challenge for all of us, which we've, I think, really enjoyed.
So now let me bring in both Angel and Darren, and maybe start off by talking a little bit about that language, which is what Terrence McNally is so known for and what makes his work so incredible, right? Is that, would you say, tennis match of words? I like that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's good. That volley back and forth. So what was the lure for you, Angel?
What was the what?
The lure.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's one of those great roles. I'd known about the play for a very long time, but I mean, I actually never thought it wasn't one of those roles that I ever thought I would ever do somehow. Mm-hmm. It just, not because I wouldn't want to, but I just didn't know that anyone would ever see me doing it. So I just never, I never had really thought about it. And then when the opportunity came along, I mean, it really is a great part. I was thinking about it. You made me think there's some parts that are, it's sort of like you're eating a salad. And some parts you're eating like an ice cream sundae. And then there are some parts that are like steak, like filet mignon, and you've got this whole great meal. And it happens a lot with, say, Shakespeare, where you really get to have a feast where you're doing it. It's more rare with a modern play.
Yeah.
At least in my experience. And this is a feast. And you're just like, of course I want this. It's a beautiful, heartbreaking part and play. And yeah, I mean, there's no bad.
There's no bad lure. There's all good.
Yeah.
And for you, Aaron?
The lure?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think with any play, the first thing that lures me is the prospects of a job. I'm always happy to work.
Yes. Nothing wrong with that, is there?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's a lot like what Angel said. I mean, it's just such a beautifully written play, and it's, you know, the themes are something I definitely identify with. I think most human beings probably do. And and it's, you know, it's a two-hander, so it's challenging in that way. And festivals like the Berkshires, you don't rehearse as long as you do, like, say, maybe in New York, so that's an extra challenge to get in there and try to whip this thing into shape in 3 weeks. And I just love to play. I love to go and do it every night. I love doing it with Angel. I love being directed by Karen. And she set a very warm, safe rehearsal space for us. So we just got to go in every day and try to build this thing and tell the story. So,
what is that process of building it? What kind of conversations do you have to get it ready, to get the two of you ready?
Mm-hmm. Well, you always just start off reading the play and making sure you're clear on what is being said and what is written, and then, you know, each actor starts in with their own work on the characters, and I genuinely start, you know, thinking of my own experiences where they're similar to the characters, where they're different, you know.
Yeah.
And then where you kind of, they kind of meet, my experience sort of meets the character, and then I try to start thinking more and more just about the character and about the character I'm playing with. And
And that's, unfortunately, though, you know, with Karen leading this room, it's a very comfortable space. It's a very safe space. And we're all a bunch of professional talkers. Like, you get us started in rehearsal and you realize, oh, it's 11:30. Maybe we should start. But all of that conversation that springs from the play, from the text, that maybe has to do with our personal lives or things that we know, all becomes fodder for what you're thinking about as you're investigating it.
And has meaning. And it's not wasted time.
No, it never is. Mm. Because part of what, especially with a play like this, it has to be about the chemistry between the people, and not just the two characters, but it's a, you know, with a director there, it's a little bit like a threesome. I mean, it's like, it's a two-person play.
Yes.
But this is a really intimate play. It's really personal. And if you have a space like this and you're able to just talk about anything, you're everything that you draw on as an actor starts to get activated, whether you're conscious of it or not. And you're sitting there creating relationship. You know, it used to be you'd have theater ensembles that would spend years together and they get to spend years together building the kind of chemistry that you can't fake it.
Right.
You can't make it. It just either is there or it isn't. And so part of that time is about creating that chemistry.
Which, as you say, is incredible. I mean, you have it or you don't, right? And you know that pretty quick, I assume, that it's going to work?
I mean, I guess it's, yeah. I mean, you hope so. Like, when you have a great feeling the first week of rehearsal, you're like, yay. And sometimes that lasts, and then sometimes it doesn't.
Yay! I wish I felt the same way I felt last week.
Yeah. Wow, this... I didn't think it would suck.
But indeed.
But we got lucky with this one.
That's great. The Berkshire Theater Group production of Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune, starring Angel Desai, Darren Petty, and directed by Karen Allen, is running on the Fitzgerald main stage in Stockbridge, Massachusetts through August 22nd. I was taken by something Angel just said, Karen, about that intimacy between the two actors, and you're a third party to this. Is there ever, assuming you have to let them do their thing of... Is it ever a challenge to stay out, you know, just stay that one step removed from it?
Well, you know, we built the actual, you know, physical intimacy very slowly in the rehearsal room because really, you know, it's something you kind of want to build layer by layer. And certainly in the course of, you know, the play, the thing that really is the core of the story is much more about the emotional intimacy between them than the physical intimacy, which although it gets talked about a lot in terms of the play, because without giving anything away, I mean, the play sort of starts with, you know, a very strong connection between the characters on a physical level, and
yes.
And then, you know, they have to then struggle.
Very nice way of putting that. Yes,
they have to then struggle back to kind of find, you know, what it is that got them there, and whether or not they have, you know, they have made a strong enough connection to move forward. And it all is happening, in a sense, in real time. There are no scenes in this play. There is one intermission, but it really is all moves through a kind of a real time between about 3 o'clock in the morning to about 6 o'clock in the morning on a given evening.
And it's, isn't it that... because there's that very touching and great humor to it, but also really kind of putting a finger on the pulse of that idea or even the fear that human connection may just not be possible. It's an impossible dream.
Well, I think that is a brilliant idea that he's playing with, and in this play, he is kind of creating in Johnny a character who has just made up his mind. He is not going to lose out in his life. He's going to find love, and he's going to give himself to love, and he's going to find someone who will receive that love. And he's created a character who is sure, at least in the external aspect of the character, what's really going on inside of him is maybe, you know, a wonderful other question. But so he's in pursuit of this elusive thing, this kind of unconditional love. And I think it, in a way, I often think of this play as being like a fable or fantasy fulfillment in terms of, you know, I think we all kind of wish for somebody who's that sure, because most of us live in this sort of strange, you know, nether world where, you know, we're never quite sure, you know, where we stand in terms of these things. We're either retreating or running forward insecurely, or, you know, we seesaw back and forth between the two. So this play kind of is a very fantasy fulfillment play in that sense.
Because you, I'm going to blame you, and it's not really your fault at all. I'm just going to say that, but you brought it up. Is nudity on stage ever an issue or a challenge?
You're asking me?
Well, I was going to ask the actors. But I assume for you, I get to keep your clothes on. No, it's not as much of an issue.
Ask the actors.
Yes, that was my plan.
No.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the first couple of shows are weird, and then you just get used to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had to do it before more than in this play. And, yeah, it was strange when my mom came.
Yeah,
but nah, I don't
and then
know.
You're
you
over.
Kinda, you get kind of used to it. Yeah.
I felt slightly differently. I mean, there's not because I mean I've had to be topless before, and actually that I got used to. I didn't, mind that so much. And, yeah. and he's right. Like the first, you do it and then it's weird. And then after that, you're just like, whatever. In this is the first time I've ever had to be complete. And actually, the way that we've staged it and the way that the action happens, I'm not actually fully nude for very long.
Yeah.
There is a moment where Darren has to see me fully nude, but nobody else gets to. And that was weird. That was definitely weird. But now I'm like,
all right,
whatever.
Yeah.
I think, you know, from my perspective, you know, the actors, although there is this process of, you know, entering into the demands of the play, which, you know, there's no nudity here that isn't absolutely necessary,
right.
In terms of creating the believability of what's going on stage. And then I think it just becomes a part of the actor's job. It really has to do with creating the reality on stage of the world that the characters are in, and allowing, you know, we call you know, the wall where the audience is looking through into the world of the play. It's called the fourth wall. And I mean, for actors, once you kind of enter into that world, there is a sense, you know, if you're really doing your work and really focused on what you're doing, there is a sense of privacy. So even though the audience is looking in on this world that they're creating, it is Frankie's apartment and they are alone. Mm-hmm. And so you want to create that believability both for yourself as an actor and for the audience. I mean, there might be that initial sort of shock of seeing someone naked for a moment, but in fact, if it's done with the focus that it needs to be done with, it disappears quite quickly because you're just in their world. You're looking into their bedroom and there should be a sense of
privacy.
Yeah.
I love that explanation. I was thinking of something along those same lines. I saw a show recently, and there was nudity in that show as well. And I thought, well, yes, there's that moment, and you probably can just insulate yourself to, this is my world. This is the world, and for that moment, we're not gonna think about the people out there. It's because it's the apartment.
It's your job. I mean, that was actually one.
And
of
then
the first
cell
things.
Phone went off.
Oh,
you know, and you're like, oh boy, oh, you know, and then I felt for the actors because you're like, oh, well, that just sort of takes it away.
It's like
it?
The apple in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah,
and everyone knew that they were naked.
It's like, oh man, yeah.
And then
like you're going through, well, what are they doing? Taking pictures? What's right. You know? And then that whole thing goes on, and I just thought, well, that stinks.
Well, we had some conversations about this because you do have to, in a sense, make some decisions about it. I mean, Johnny, Darren's character, as he gets out of bed, pulls on boxer shorts. I mean, he could get out of bed and be so comfortable in the privacy of this apartment that he just spends the entire play walking around completely naked.
Sure.
However, you know, you have to kind of think creatively, and you have to think, does this serve the play? You know, how is this serving the play? Because the whole, you know, you can create a distraction for an audience by having too much nudity, or nudity that starts to feel very, you know, it ends up being what the play is about, and you stop, you know, being involved in the play. So we've tried to find like that perfect balance is what we talked a lot about and what we've worked with.
Angel, what were you going to say?
Oh no, just that sense of privacy in public. That was one of the first things I learned in grad school. That's our job. The job of the actor is to create a sense of privacy in public, and it is like one of the hardest things because of, you know, they're right there, a cell phone will go off, somebody's talking, somebody's sneezing, somebody's dropping something. I mean, there's, you know,
an ambulance coming down 46th Street. Yeah, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and the struggle to maintain that. Also, you're, you know, the audience is responding, hopefully, in whatever various ways, and you're in tune with that, and you have to be in tune with that to keep the rhythm going, into, you know, especially in comedy, it's, you know, it's timing, and you're basing it off of what you're hearing or not hearing. Mm-hmm. So it's like a dual action. You're staying private in this world, but you're also completely interacting with them. So it's, I don't know.
It's what we do.
It's what we do.
Yes, it's what you do. How interested are you in other productions of this? In the sense of, do you look at how other productions have have addressed many of the things that we've been discussing over the past 20 minutes.
You know, I usually do not do a lot of research on other productions. I did see this about 30-some years ago when Kathy Bates and Kenny Welsh did it. I think I saw it twice because Kenny Welsh left at one point and another actor came in whose name eludes me. But I think I saw it twice 30 years ago. I don't remember anything particularly specific about the production, except I remember, you know, loving the writing then. I loved the performances that they gave. I was very engaged by the play. I have maybe like a few little visual images of it that sit somewhere in the back burner of my brain. But other than that, no, I try to go just purely from, I mean, I've directed plays I've never seen, which is great. I've directed plays that have never been done before, where it's the premiere. I've directed a play I was in, so I had a huge, huge amount of, you know, historical memories of it. And this is, I think, possibly the first play I've ever directed that I saw a production of, but remember almost nothing about. So it's, you know, it's
other
it's
than
really,
you like it. You
other know, than other, I loved it, yeah. You know, which drove me then to keep reading and rereading the play. And I've worked on the play with acting students at Simon's Rock when I was teaching at Simon's Rock. So I had that experience of the play, too, of just kind of delving into scenes and working on scenes with students with it. Yeah.
Do you ever miss, when you were directing, do you ever miss being on stage?
I don't, I miss being on stage kind of all the time. I love to work on stage, but I can't say, I have to say, I find directing so satisfying and interesting, and I feel like I learn so much about myself as an actor when I'm directing. That it's, for me, it's become, you know, a very, very much interwoven with my work as an actor. So to me, it seems like an incredible privilege to be able to go back and forth between the two. And I feel that they sort of feed each other. And I don't feel limited to being interested in plays that only have a role in them for me. It allows me to sort of embrace the huge, amazing library of great plays that exist out there, many of which I love, and yet I couldn't be in because there's not a role in them for me. So, no, I don't miss it when I'm actually focused on the directing aspect. Right.
And you enjoy that. That
I
is
love
a,
it.
That's a love. Yeah.
I love it. It takes everything I have learned in all the years of doing this, you know, which is maybe like 40 or something like that years of working in film and theater, and you know, it puts it all together and like it draws from me everything I feel like that I have.
Must be a wonderful feeling and experience to have that. Like I'm using everything in my utility belt.
Yeah. And, you know, it has, and there's so many, you know, at times it's, it really pushes you to the limit of, I mean, I don't sleep well when I'm directing because I have the play on my brain. Mm. I wake up thinking about the play, go to sleep thinking, I dream about the play sometimes. I get a little obsessive about it because I, you know, you do only have a window. You have three or 4 weeks of rehearsal and you feel like, no, I can't let any stone go unturned. I want to help the actors find everything they can possibly find.
And do you sleep better now that it's up and running?
Yes. Okay. I have to say I do. Mm-hmm.
How are you sleeping, Angel? Not great.
Not well. No,
okay,
no.
Great. And for you, you're getting the check. You're sleeping fine.
I'm just happy to be working.
Well, the Berkshire Theater Group production of Frankie and Johnny in the Claire de Lune starring Angel Desai, Darren Petty, and directed by Karen Allen is running on the Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge, Massachusetts through August 22nd. To learn more, visit berkshiretheatergroup.org, berkshiretheatergroup.org. I cannot tell you what a pleasure it has been to have the three of you here. Karen, Angel, Darren, thank you so much. Have a beautiful run.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.